that. We're only going to concentrate, though. Our emphasis is going to be on verses 8 through 12. The whole psalm, Psalm 30, does speak of the gospel. But this is going to be a special Thanksgiving devotional tonight. And we'll emphasize verses 8 through 12. Verse 8, where it says, from the English Standard Version, it says, "To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy." It should remind us of the psalm a little earlier, Psalm 22, where Jesus from the cross cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Or, "Why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me?" From the words of my groaning, that first part of it, "To you, O Lord, I cry." And then in the second part of verse 8, where it says, "And to the Lord I plead for mercy." Jesus pleads for mercy, not for himself, but on behalf of others, as he lives to make, or ever lives to make, intercession for those he is saving. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 24 and 25. He is an eternal priest with a continual priesthood as he is ascended into heaven. However, as he represents man, his pleading for the mercy on behalf of us, because he represents man. And so his prayers are those that are perfect prayers on our behalf. When we cry out for mercy, I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but when we cry out for mercy, even our cries for the mercy of God to be upon us and for the grace of God to minister to us are tainted because of our sin. And we needed the perfect man, Jesus Christ, to plead on our behalf as if he was pleading for himself, because he required no mercy for himself. Everything he did was for you and for me. Which is amazing, that just that thought, that meditation. In verse 9, it says, "What profit is there in my death? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it tell you of your faithfulness?" In verse 9 has these rhetorical, these three parts that we can look at from verse 9. These are rhetorical questions, all of them, when viewed through the gospel. What profit is there in my death? Obviously, there is profit in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's profitable for men. Jesus didn't go to the pit. He didn't go to hell. It says, as it says here, what profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? And truly, he didn't have to go down to the pit, because he suffered God's unmitigated wrath upon his own soul as he hung upon the cross. He didn't have to go down to hell. He didn't have to go into the compartment where the rich man was, with a great chasm between him and Lazarus. He didn't have to go to that place, as some people erroneously think that Jesus suffered in hell. He suffered far greater in the wrath of God that was poured out upon him on Calvary's tree. And so he didn't need to. What profit is it? It is profitable for us that he suffered upon the cross. And when he cried, "It is finished," he suffered as great as anyone possibly could in order to save those he is redeeming. "Will the dust praise you? In the sin of Adam, who is made dust, returning to dust was Adam's lot, and the fate of every man. And it is appointed unto a man once to die, and after this the judgment." Genesis 3:19, God says unto Adam, who had sinned, "Dust thou art, and in the dust thou shalt return." And so we see in this where it says, "Will the dust praise you?" Yes, because the death of Jesus Christ is profitable to men. It is of great profit. It is the greatest profit that any man can receive. It is the greatest benefit for those who have trusted in the salvation of God through Jesus Christ. And so it is. And the dust, therefore, that the dust does praise, because we're saved by God's grace. "Will it tell of your faithfulness?" It says in verse 9, the last part of verse 9, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus said unto his disciples, he says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And so in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, will the dust praise you, and will it tell of your faithfulness? Absolutely, and that is the power to turn dust into men who proclaim the praises of God Almighty through his Son, Jesus Christ. In verse 10, it says, "Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper." This, too, was a prayer of our Lord, because he represented every sinful man saved by God's grace. And our sin being imputed to him, our prayers also, where we lack, have been prayed by Jesus Christ with perfect humility. I mean, think about that for a moment. Because even though we're saved by grace, and then we recognize our frailties, that when we confess our sins, as it says in 1 John, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you realize that you and I can't pray that prayer to confess a sin, except that Jesus Christ did it to confess sins he never committed? By praying these prayers from the scriptures as perfect man on our behalf, these prayers now are answered, because God says, hey, through his perfect prayers, praying on our behalf, praying in John chapter 17, and though possibly in his times with his Father saying, I pray. Not saying, I didn't commit these, but I pray on behalf of Brother John. But that these are mine. He never once removed himself from the fact that he was taking my place, taking your place, in order to be the man, the woman that we couldn't be. And so therefore God, by his amazing grace, saving us and imputing Christ's perfect righteousness unto us. Verse 11, where it says, You have turned for me my mourning into dancing, and you have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness. It reminds me that Jesus Christ, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. The mourning, the man of sorrows, the one hanging upon the cross and suffering God's wrath and being brutalized to where he's unrecognizable as a human being. But for the joy that was set before him, God has turned his mourning into dancing, into celebration. And when he ascended up on high after he rose from the dead, and as he appeared before his disciples at his ascension, it was a coronation like never before have angel or men seen. And then finally in verse 12, where it says, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Have you ever considered this? That we owe thanksgiving unto God. And then with Thanksgiving being tomorrow, it's an amazing thing that this portion of Scripture should come up. One of tomorrow's portions is going to be in Jonah chapter 2, and in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, but I with the voice of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. It's interesting that tomorrow on Thanksgiving, that would be the one of the verses or one of the scripture portions through Robert Murray McShane. And the voice of thanksgiving will sacrifice, but I with the voice of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you. Speaking of Jesus Christ, Jonah being a prophet, and that was what Jesus did. He went to the cross with thanksgiving, and there has been no person upon the earth who was more thankful or even as thankful as Jesus Christ. He was the most thankful person upon the face of the earth when he walked upon the earth. All the time in the Gospels, and sometimes I have to confess that I've read over it so quickly that it never really just grabbed me. Each time that he broke bread, when he broke bread for the multitudes, that he raised it up before the Heavenly Father and he blessed it and thanked. He was thankful for it. When he was at the tomb of Lazarus in John chapter 11 and he stood before the grave to tell him to roll back the stone, and he says, I thank you, my Heavenly Father, that they may see and then believe. He was so thankful. And for that, I think of my thanksgiving and how thankful I am for things. And then I see the thankfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who being in the midst of sinners surrounding him, of people he came to save who misunderstood him, who were manipulative and wanted their own way, and those who conspired to kill him, surrounded by such sin, and yet, as perfect man, was the most thankful and grateful man who ever lived, and loved with thanksgiving the truth of his heavenly Father. Now there's a Thanksgiving thought for you right there. When we give thanks tomorrow, may we give thanks to God with such a heart that we are so thankful for the thankful man, Jesus Christ, who lived and walked upon the planet and died so that we may have faith in him, so that our thanksgiving, though falling short because of the corruptions of our flesh, may rise to heaven itself because he was thankful enough for all of us where we fall short. Isn't that a wonderful thought?